Greetings, this is James Gillen with EdgeWiz Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, the East Eddy Ranch. We used to call this place Paranormal Central just because of all the activity. For those who haven't been keeping up on what's been going on here, we're just getting some incredible footage. We've got massive ships flying over the East Eddy Ranch lately, and we're getting it on film. And we'll have it up on the website soon, maybe as soon as tomorrow, who knows. Depends on how we get it all downloaded. But it's brand new footage, and we've got these massive orbs, light spheres, coming right down right in front of the camera, pulsing and turning and flying against the wind. We've had some just incredible power-ups, big ships coming in. So not only we're having incredible paranormal activity here, as usual, you know, with the light spheres and the orbs and videotaping them, which shows they aren't dust and they aren't water spots or anything else, or pollen. A lot of people saying they're bugs, you know. Well, we had 20-degree weather here just a little while back, and we were out filming it. Not too many bugs are flying around when it's 20 degrees, trust me. You know, they're bug-sickles. So basically, you know, it's pretty much a done deal. The evidence is in, but there are those that just don't want you to see the evidence. And, you know, it's kind of amazing. There's several major UFO conferences, of which I was kind of invited to and then uninvited to. So we're trying to figure out what's behind that situation. There's a lot of jealousy in the UFO community. And this being one of the most well-known international UFO hotspots in America, along with Robbie Williams coming here now, the UK is all over the United Kingdom newspapers, the Sun, you know, all of these are covering it. I think the Times, I think it's called the London Times, I'm not sure, but one of the Times over there did an article. And it's all over the Internet right now as far as, and the news as well about the activity going on here. So, you know, one would think after Paranormal State and all this other activity that the UFO community would show some interest in what's happening here and what's ongoing in one of the most active international UFO hotspots on the planet. But no, we're not invited. So go figure. So I'm getting ready to write a new book called The Conspiracy Behind the Conspiracy, and what the UFO community doesn't want you to know. And we'll go in depth about a lot of the cover-up and the disinformation out there. And we're not going to really name names, but you'll know by the time we're done actually who's behind it and where they've been, you might say, groomed, where they've been groomed and where they've come from. But, you know, the bottom line is whenever you see a lot of military military past and intelligence past and or alphabet agency past or whatever, as soon as you see those alphabet agency numbers pop up in their background, or you see military intelligence or even the military, a lot of times they're a lot of them unknowingly, you might say, they're willing participants in this cover up. So they don't know. They've been given just a little piece of the puzzle. It's been passed down to them, and it's filled with a lot of disinformation. And some actually think they're in knowledge of what's really going on and tell them the truth. But, you know, they have a little piece of the pie, and they want to attack anybody that has a bigger piece of the pie. So anyway, it seems there has been a systematic effort, you might say, that to constantly cut out anybody that has a message of hope, anybody that talks about the ultra-dimensionals, the benevolent ones, anybody that talks about the ones who have transcended disease and war and have all the fuelless technology. You're not going to hear about them.
Are you there?
Oh, obviously, we have a caller. Are you there?
Yeah, hello? This is Jason Stewart.
You know, I can barely hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
Oh, man. Yeah, this is James McDougal from Port Angeles, Washington.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. Is this James?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. I've listened to many radio stations,
mm-hmm.
And I have pictures of orbs. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Different colored orbs, big orbs. I've seen pictures of your orbs. And I have some orbs that are like huge, and the yellow in contrast.
Yes.
And I didn't even know they were there, but they were like, we took a, they were taken with, newer type cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had them in post, and they're huge all around us.
Yeah, we have a pyramid here, and we do a lot of healing work and process-oriented therapy in the pyramid. And whenever we're done, a lot of times we'll take pictures of the pyramid, and we get these orbs that are like 30 feet wide, you know, big golden orbs, beautiful golden orbs. And it may be the same thing that you're starting to film.
Yeah, they're big. It's really astounding. We thought there were like some things that were wrong with the camera, but they're astounding.
No, there's nothing wrong with the camera. It's funny, a lot of there are people in the community that are trying to debunk these, and they'll throw up dust or flour and say, yeah, here's the orbs. But if you look at those orbs, they're all exactly the same. There's no colors in them, or they're all just one color, you might say, depending on the camera. And it's pretty undeniable, because we're taking these pictures right after it rains, so it's not dust, not pollen, you know, in the air. And then we're taking them when it's crystal clear out and there is no rain, so we're getting the orbs. And they're flying against the wind. The wind is blowing. You can watch the trees going, and the wind doesn't even phase these things.
I understand that totally.
Yeah, we're videotaping them.
I have pictures of orbs, like small orbs. They look like snowflakes.
Yeah.
And, I have had many pictures of orbs that are small. Like, maybe it's raining or maybe something or other. But these orbs are huge, and they're different in color.
Uh-huh.
It's like looking at a full moon with a golden tint on it.
Yeah.
And these are huge. I mean, they're huge.
Well, that's a good sign. You know, when you have those around your house, they're very advanced ultra-dimensional.
Well, I live in Port Angeles, Washington, and I did a test. And I took a few friends with me, and I went up on Hurricane Ridge, which is like 4,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up there, and we took some pictures at night, and there was nothing. Absolutely no orbs at all. And I'm going, well, maybe it has to do with elevation. But then I went by myself and took other pictures, and there was orbs. So it leads me to think that he who is there, the orbs come around. Is that so?
Oh, it's definitely so. There are people that attract the orbs, and I found out that people that have like an open mind or loving heart and, you know, good intentions,
why I did two segments. I thought, well, okay. And then I went back up, and there they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so what causes that?
Well, what's happening is that the veils between worlds are growing very thin right now. And when people don't realize that there's a lot of disembodied spirits out there, and some are you know, animal spirits. We've blown some orbs up, and we see bear faces in them, or deer faces, different types of animals in the orbs, and we see... And those are the denser ones we might see that are closer to the Earth. And then we see the beautiful ones that are really bright white, you know, with a purple fringe or a golden fringe on those.
And,
those are...
And then there's the ones with the rings in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the orbs with the rings in them.
Yeah.
I have never had many with the rings in them.
Uh-huh.
I usually have smaller ones, which are just like a globe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the humongous one.
Some of them are ultra dimensionals. They're actually ETs, or they're beings from a whole other dimension. And some are just kind of humans,
okay,
and some are masters.
Okay, James.
What's that?
Are they
a being? Or are they,
yeah, they are.
Are they a seeker?
They're beings without bodies, you might say.
Okay.
And after you, with the more you research, you start to realize there's different ones that come out on a regular basis. Like, we have
I realize that.
Yeah, we have a beautiful blue one that shows up here. Beautiful blue, electric blue orb. And when you blow it up, there's a woman with beautiful features, and she's wearing a shawl on the top of her head. And she looks like something out of biblical days, like Mary or somebody of that nature. And so we have a lot of, you know, I could jump to conclusions and say, well, it's obviously Mary or whatever. But I don't do that. All I can say is that the picture shows very clearly a beautiful woman, you know, with a shawl and wearing the garb of that time period, you might say. But and that we can prove, you know, with the photograph and everything else.
Well, you don't have to prove anything to me.
Yeah, yeah. But when you try to go further into that, that's when they all come down on you and say.
Right, right.
Yeah. Say it's something.
How long did your ranch open this year?
We're getting close to, you know, I don't know how long this weather's going to hold out.
Right.
But
we've had a pretty nice fall.
Yeah, if we continue with clear skies, and, you know, right now the moon is so bright, it's a full moon, and it's just washing everything out.
Although yeah,
last night we did have a massive ship come over.
I wouldn't come to your ranch just to see UFOs.
Yeah.
I would come to your ranch to meet you and the people that are there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the energies are phenomenal here.
Right, right.
The land itself is a very high-frequency place.
I'm not talking to you because I need questions answered.
Uh-huh.
It would be to meet you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How long will your ranch be open to the public?
Well, it just depends on when the snow starts falling and it starts building up, we usually just close it down because people come up and just get buried and stuck and can't get in and out, and it gets to be a real problem. So I would say just as long as the weather holds out, best just to call us, you know, and let us.
So are you open every weekend?
Yeah, we're open Thursday through Sunday.
Pardon?
Thursday through Sunday. And we'll probably be open, I think probably after, I'm not even sure if we're going to make it to Christmas. It just depends on how the weather holds out.
Okay. James?
Yes?
It's been a pleasure talking with you. I have tried to get through to you for quite a while. And there's a lot of avenues that I want to talk to you about.
All righty.
And I will see you this fall.
Sounds good.
Great, Jim.
All right, I'll see
thank
you up here, friend.
And I appreciate this avenue of speech with you.
Oh, well, thanks for calling in. All righty. So I might as well give these numbers out. We're just doing open lines tonight and let people call in and have their say. I'm going to go ahead and give the numbers now. The first number is 877-876-5227. If you're from Canada, we've got 888-815-9756. And for the direct line, we've got 530-876-3222. We have another caller. Can you state your name and where you're from?
Brother James, this is Brian in the lower latitudes of Florida.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Hey, I haven't talked to you in a few months. I haven't caught your show in a while. Questions.
Sure.
I'm sure you have answers. Has anybody asked you about this prediction that was made by Blossom Goodchild October 14th that didn't materialize?
Yeah. Actually, there's another prediction that just came out by Richard Boylan that you guys
yes.
are supposed to be gone right now.
I'm supposed to have probably be looking at, our coastline was supposed to be looking at least 300-foot tsunami today.
Yeah.
No, a 1.5-meter asteroid, I don't know if it would do the same as a 1.5-kilometer asteroid. It would do the same damage as that 500-kilometer asteroid that's been depicted in Discovery. But I was kind of nail-biting a little bit this afternoon, just because,
yeah.
I mean, he says that it was Native American who gave him the channeling, apparently,
mm-hmm.
and that would be deflected, et cetera, this and that, and try to get us tuned up into 2012. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, the as far as it coming in?
Yeah, because that was my second question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing with Blossom Goodchild is that... you know, I don't know who she's talking with or which group, and there's so many ETs out there, and discarnate spirits and faker spirits and you name it. You know, and we have an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. and so
well,
there
yeah,
are
yeah.
a lot of people plugging in, and they haven't done their homework in a way of totally researching and discerning on what kind of energy they're working with, or... And, you know, it could have been her own desire, you know, because there's a lot of people, whenever you're bringing information through, it comes through the mind here on the planet, and it gets altered by people's wishes and desires. So there's so many things that can happen, you know. I think it's wishful thinking. I think it's great. And I think if enough people focus on that, we can generate that reality. But as far as ships coming here and landing on the White House lawn or anywhere, we're still shooting at them. And they don't want to deal with aggression in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so the benevolent ones are just still taking the high road, and they are flying over, they are making themselves known, but there's really no point in them landing because our policy is so screwed up concerning off-world visitors. And whoever does have that contact is going to end up, you know, probably in jail, losing their land, there's laws against that. Having contact with alien visitors or their vehicles. So so anyway, they're still playing that game where they're, you know, still doing their, you know, harassment and trying to get you to think you didn't see anything. And it becomes a real severe problem if a ship lands on your front lawn or anywhere else. And if they did come here, they would have to defend themselves, and they just don't see any point in it.
Right.
Right now, I mean, they are. It is set up to happen, and it is coming. But we have to go through a huge shift in consciousness and energy, which is underway as we speak. We're going through another big jump right now.
Well, it's very possible that coming together for the October 14th event also lifted us up another notch, because that was, you know, the love energy that needed to be there for that. I mean, it's possible that she's, you know, getting information from... unreliable sources, disinformation sources, or it's possible that the ETs themselves just decided that there wasn't it wasn't a good enough time to do this because of something on the ground or something. I've read something about that. On another subject, as far as Earth changes go, we hear in the area of called Alachua, we have a Hare Krishna temple here. And we've met some devotees, and I recently spoke with one. They have a family of five. They're very concerned. She was talking about Native American prophecies. I asked her, I said, are they addressing any of this in the temple? She's like, oh, no. Not surprised, on a typical organized religion approach.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, you know, Native American prophecies are saying that Florida is not a good place to be. These earth changes are coming in. I know what you have to say as far as Florida. Fishes in the in City Hall. What we're trying to figure out here is my wife and I and these people where it would be best for us to go. I've heard that you got to be at least 100 miles inland away from the coast, and at least at level 2,500 feet. I'm sure the Mount Adams area would be nice, but unfortunately. My wife and I, we're not cold weather people. We're from Southern California originally. And we just don't know where to go.
Well, in a few years, we'll be warm weather. We'll have Santa Barbara weather.
Because
we'll have moved 200 miles south. So
with the pole shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as far as that, I would just... You know, the Santa Cruz area there is going to end up being islands. You know, they'd be called Santa Cruz Islands. Get up really high there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you are going to have the heck shaken out of you. So it just depends on where you want to be, because there are going to be some massive winds and there is going to be a lot of sloshing around of the ocean. You know, so I would just, you know, get a map. And
yeah, well, we look at the Google Earth, and, you know, we look at this and we look at that, and we've had our sights set on the Arizona area.
Mm-hmm.
There is an intentional community out in the Sonoran Desert there. They have like 1,000 fruit trees, groves, et cetera, this and that. Self-sufficiency seems to be, you know, obviously the key issue.
Yeah.
And trying we
what's
we,
the elevation there?
A mesa?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that area is full of mesas.
I mean, what's the elevation?
Oh, the elevation.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought there was a mesa. Elevation's about 2,500. I guess
that might work out.
Pretty
you know,
good.
As long as you...
It's near a town called Winkler, something or other. I'm not really sure. That's one area, Four Corners. One thing I had heard some time ago, someone said that the Star Nations, I'm sure you're familiar with that term, Boylan's familiar with that term, they have been told that the Four Corners would be protected. At that area,
mm-hmm.
specifically because that's where the tribes are and such. I don't know. But it's not easy to exist there as a white person from what I've
yeah.
heard. And my wife and I were in a place called Tuba City near Grand Canyon, just before you get into Utah. And we were just so odd man out. And, you know, we eat healthy. We're vegetarians. I thought that, you know, I've been meaning to ask you, are you vegetarian?
No, I'm not.
You're not. No.
No, I did that for quite a while, and
uh-huh.
it just didn't work for me.
I see.
And I worked for a biophysicist for about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And the more I researched it, the more I realized that our bodies are pretty much adapted to eat anything, and meat is one of them. That's why we have canines and hydrochloric acid is to digest meat, you know. So
yeah.
we were created for that, you know, although a lot of people... want to disagree with that, and I found to me is if I eat closer to the earth and as natural as possible, that works for me better than anything else.
In other words, not like factory farm or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. I try to. I mean, we have our own chickens here, and we eat our own eggs, and
yeah.
And
unfortunately, you would think that on you know Native American reservations they eat you know more closer to the earth,
mm-hmm.
but because of the denatured diet that they're fed, mainly due to the white man and such.
Yeah.
I mean, we went in Tuba City, and we went into a place that was just, there was nothing there we could eat. It was all either food dye and colors or artificial flavors. And we were seeing how people were filling up their baskets, and we're like, oh, my God, I can't believe all these people are poisoning themselves.
Yeah.
And it's very sad.
It's very hard for them, too, because their genetic makeup, it's very hard for them to deal with the chemicals
yeah.
and all the other nonsense. You know, it's sad because, I shouldn't say they, because I'm part of them anyway. I'm part Cherokee myself.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, it is kind of sad where that's gone. You know, they need to get back to the old ways. And all the Hopi elders, all of them are saying that, look, you know, store your corn, store your grain. Get back in touch with the earth, and you know it's time, you know, to prepare. And the old world is going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one thing that's interesting is my wife and I just recently found this. Is that, and I can't remember her name, I think she's a Cherokee. I'm not really sure. She writes about how the buffalo hunt and all that wasn't the case. And originally, it was more they were eating corn. And they were eating more, you know, vegetables and such. As the white man was introduced and the ways of the white man, and as they started getting more rifles, they started eating more and more buffaloes. They started killing buffaloes. And that was interesting, I thought, to find out that, you know, they've strayed away from the original ways. The original
yeah,
ways
you know, were, it's pretty tough to kill a buffalo, you know, without you can do it with a spear,
and
I guess a good bow, maybe. You know, they're pretty tough animals, and if you get, you know, if they're out in the middle of a field or a prairie or something like that, and they know you're a threat, I mean, they can make mincemeat of you pretty quickly.
I can imagine.
So I can see why they would not eat as much buffalo, you know, with without a rifle.
If I can change subject to one more question.
Sure.
What are your feelings about, I don't know, have you heard about Stephen Bassett's Million Facts on Washington?
Yes.
What are your feelings on that?
You know, I think disclosure is coming. It's kind of a no-brainer. I don't know how, you know, anybody can continue to not deny this and then have any credibility left whatsoever. Because, you know, right now, they did a Times CNN poll a long time ago, and I think it was 86% of the people said that they believe UFOs exist and there's a government cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, to say, to continue with the cover-up basically is just red-flagging yourself as, you know, a liar and a deceiver and, you know, so you know, basically you're saying that I'm not telling the truth or I'm really stupid. That's basically all you can say on the subject other than come clean with it.
Well, on the subject of the disclosure and the incoming administration, Barack Obama, there's a woman by the name of Susie Ward. I don't know if you've heard of her. She communicates with her disembodied son, Matthew. And Matthew predicted that Obama would be elected. And it sounds like, are you familiar with...
Oh, Susan Ward. Are you talking about...
Okay, right, Susan Ward.
Yeah, right. Susan Ward. No, I know Susan very well.
Okay, great. So it takes me back to many years ago to the 80s, when I was first introduced by my drama instructor, of all people, to a book maybe you're familiar with, Strangers Among Us?
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Montgomery?
Yes.
In that book, she said there would be, in the future, as we got closer to a poll shift, a walk-in president.
Mm-hmm.
This is what her guides told her. And so I was starting to wonder, you know, if maybe Barack Obama might be a walk-in.
Very well could be. You know, this is the way I look at it, basically, is that, you know, basically, to get to where you're at, to become president or whatever, you know, you've got to play the game, and you've got to be in the hip pocket of, you know, the international banksters and all the other guys just to get in there. But it doesn't mean you're going to continue to play the game.
That's what Matthew said.
And there's a good possibility that, and this is what my sources are telling me, that there's some major divine intervention going on. And it could very well be that he may, you know, have a major walk-in experience, or he's already there and playing the game and getting ready to get in the right position. Who knows? But I know one thing, the energy that's coming in no longer supports tyranny. And these guys, you know, Armageddon is the great uncovering is what it means. It doesn't mean total destruction. It means the great uncovering.
Right.
So we're seeing everything uncovered right now. We're in that phase. And, you know, all the Illuminati, the banksters, and all those guys, they really believe they're divinely ordained to rule.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually believe that they're the chosen ones. And they have no concept of karma reaction, reaction, or...
They don't.
Or any of that. They think that they're beyond it because they're the chosen ones. They can pretty much do whatever they want.
Right. I've heard on Coast to Coast they mentioned a movie called Eyes Wide Shut. Everyone should see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. But, you know, the bottom line is with these guys is that everybody has a light review. When you cross this plane, you have your light review, and you have to go over everything in the presence of these divine beings that you've done here, good, bad, or ugly, you know.
You ever seen a movie called Defending Your Life?
I did, yeah.
Albert Brooks. I think that's a great example.
Yeah, yeah.
That
and so,
really good.
And so, basically, too, in order to get into the higher planes, or even the golden plane of bliss, you experience any pain or suffering or trauma, anything you've done to others, you experience it within yourself. While you're reviewing this, you're feeling everything that you've caused this other person or this other family. And when you have people that are responsible for genocide and the starvation and death of millions and all these diseases that are brought about by their chemicals and their, you know, their chemtrails and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just imagining what these guys are going to experience is just unimaginable, basically, to me. But they're just piling it up, you know, and then they're piling up their review, and they're going to have to experience everything. And I think there are some within that group that are starting to wake up and go, you know, I just can't do this anymore. You know, this just doesn't feel right. And there are some within those families that are figuring it out, and they're starting to wake up, and they're trying to go in a different direction. But that's the way I see it, is that there's going to be a lot of lights popping on within their own group, and then also too within their own group, their lust for power and wealth at any expense is being amplified. And so they're going to be eating their own young. There's going to be a lot of internal conflict, and all that's going to be amplified too as well. So it's a no-win situation, because the energy coming in is a great amplifier, and it's going to amplify everything. And you know, the negative always consumes itself. And so, you know, going back to the Native American prophecies, there's one shared with me, Wallace Black Elk. He's no longer with us right now, but right before he died, he shared a prophecy with me, and he made it very clear that he said there is a beast, you know, and the beast is 2,000 miles wide, which represents how long it's going to have its reign. And he said the beast is just all-consuming. It wants to control and dominate and consume everything. And he said just when you think it's over with and it's too late and there's no more hope, the beast finally consumes itself. And what we're seeing right now is these huge mega corporations, these beasts, mm-hmm. are consuming themselves. They've gotten so fat. They're such fat dragons now, they can't even fly. And they are all consuming. There's nothing. They can't keep going. There's nothing to feed them. They've reached the epoch of their program. So they are going to go down, and anybody aligned with the beast that works for the beast or, you know, is dependent on that beast is going to go down with them. So we need to break away and become self-sufficient and start living a wholesome and natural way of life in harmony with nature and move in that direction. And that world is going to continue, but the world of the beast is coming to a close, and it's in all the prophecies.
Got to ask you one question just came to mind. Are you familiar with a woman by the name of Shelley Yates?
Shelley Yates, where do I know her? She's the one
Fire the Grid.
Yeah, Fire the Grid, yes.
What's become of her?
You know, I don't know. I talked to her on the phone a couple times. I was going to have her on the show. Hmm. And I should check her out and see where she's at, because, I was going to have her on the show, and she was so booked up. And just going from place to place to place, she had a lot on her plate. So, I think I'll try to track her down and see what she's up to, and maybe get her on the show.
That'd be great, because, you know, it's like there's nothing mentioned on Fire the Grid. There's nothing right after they did the exercise, which had a very positive effect. Nothing else said. She didn't come back on the air to say anything. Nothing.
You know, we did an experiment on Coast to Coast. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but we did an intention experiment where we initiated contact, and that was just amazing. And I'm trying to get back on Coast to Coast and do it again, because they said their emails, their phone lines, everything were just totally jammed. They had so many people having contact, having experiences, mm-hmm. seeing the ships, just nationwide and even internationally. You know, people were seeing ships everywhere that just popped out of nowhere and made themselves known and were shooting big plasma balls across the sky. And it was pretty amazing. So it's time to get more of those intention experiments going and get the collective consciousness together, you know, for a positive outcome.
My feelings are, as we get closer to the 2012 Mayan calendar, end of the Mayan calendar, we're running out of time. You know,
yeah.
We got to get it together. I've said for many, many years, it's time for the human race to either grow up or blow up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, we're going to that sixth night right now, according to the Mayan calendar, and I don't know exactly how to explain it. I have to look it up again, but it's just intense evolution. And somebody was saying our evolution is going to be accelerated something mm-hmm. like 200 times. So it's not so much time is changing, but our evolution is going fast, and the events are happening faster and faster and faster. You know, we still have 24-hour days, you might say. But that what happens in those days and the experiences within those days are all just accelerating rapidly. And that's what I see. That unfortunately, tyranny just can't keep up with it. You know, their frequencies are too dense and too low, and they aren't going to be able to make this shift. And, you know, they know it. They have the remote viewers and their psychics, and they said, you know, they go, okay, you know, go into past 2012 and tell me where I am and what I'm doing. And their psychics, the remote viewers are saying, I'm sorry, you're not there.
James, I've heard this. In fact, there were some other remote viewers, including Sean David Martin, I believe. I don't know if you necessarily call them a remote viewer. They can't see past 2012.
Yeah. There's a reason for that. And one of the reasons is the same thing. A lot of remote viewers, I know quite a few of them, and I would show them these beings that I've been working with and things like that, and they go, oh, I never heard of it, you know, that doesn't exist. And and then I think it was Joe McGonigal, I think it was doing a talk. And I sat down with him, and I showed him the different ETs I was working with and different beings, and he had no knowledge of it. Actually, David Morehouse did. So he'd taken it further, and he'd risen a little higher than most remote viewings, and he was actually seeing these golden beings and different types, some of these beings. And he knew, and we had a really good connection with him, and I think he's a man of real high integrity. But what he talked about, McGonigal talked about, was that he said that remote viewing is more of a psychic type thing. It's not even that. He said that it's a matter of being able to see through walls and see through events and see things happening here. Sometimes they can go into the future, into the past, and things like that, but it's more limited to this plane. And it's not, but if you're going to get out of, you have to pierce what they call the psychic barrier to get into the other dimensions, and they haven't done that. And so a lot of psychics or remote viewers or things like that, they have gifts, but their gifts are limited. And they've got to get through the psychic barrier to the other side before they're going to be connecting into these beings, you know, that are beyond the astral level. And you know, to these Christed beings or higher beings or fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth, tenth dimensional beings, you know, they won't be able to connect with those.
Interesting,
and
you mentioned remote viewers, because that was the very next question I was going to ask you.
Yeah, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And so if you haven't, if you don't have a fifth-dimensional consciousness, you're not going to be able to experience it. It's that simple. And the only way to get access to that dimension is through a lot of clearing out the past, releasing the past, healing old trauma, wounds, and baggage, you know, even past life baggage, and do a lot of meditation work and do your time. You know, and consciousness.
If I may ask,
yes.
As far as remote viewers, have you met Dr. Courtney Brown?
Yes, I have.
He got a raw deal on Coast. I really think he did, just because of the thing with Hellbot. But
yeah, he was set up. You know,
he was.
He was definitely set up, and I talked to him after that, not too long after that.
Yes.
And what's sad is I was trying to help the guy out, And, you know, he just did not want any help at all, and he was really playing the victim role and you know, really bummed out and doing the whole victim role and everything. And I tried to kind of bust him out of that and just say, you know what? I said, the only thing that hurt is your ego here, you know, because your ego really doesn't, you know, the ego is the only thing that needs defending. And you need to just let that go and rise above it, move up to the next level here. And I guess he didn't want to hear that, and he got a little upset about it. So,
well, I've read both his books, and he does confirm the existence of the Galactic Federation. Not necessarily, but some people, I don't know. What are your thoughts about Sheldon Neidl and his communications?
You know, to me, you know, I don't. There's an old saying: if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to take that stance. But you know, he's given quite a few landing dates, and they haven't come up. And I know he's, you know, pretty much selling seats on the ship. You know, so.
Well, on that subject of being deceived and the deception, and then I'm going to end it here. You remember the crop circle that showed up by a SETI search station, I think,
yes,
in the UK. And it was decrypted. And they said, beware of those who bring false promises.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those who bring the false promises?
Well, there are low-level contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see it is that there's some different groups there, and there's, you know, some of the lower grays. Some of the grays are just little EBs. They're just biological robots, but there's some grays above them and some reptilian ones and some other ones. And I just don't trust these guys at all. I've seen some of them. There's a group that, you know that movie Fifth Element?
Yes, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, these beings that are kind of pig-headed beings, they're really bizarre-looking. They actually do exist. There are beings just like that. And I think Hollywood gets a lot of their information from people that have had, you know, experiences with these beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it goes back to that old program, you know, by their fruits you'll know them, and listen to their message. And is it empowering you to make your own personal God connection? Is it helping you get on with your life? And does it promote... you know, living in harmony with each other and the planet and nature? And if it does, then hang out with the guys, you know. But if it starts feeding your ego and telling you you're special and you're the chosen one and flattering you and then starts getting you to do things that are unhealthy or harmful to others or whatever, then it's time to change stations, you know, and break off communication with those beings.
The crop circle was called the Chill Bolton Crop Circle, I believe.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I saw that, and I think it is that there are some, you know, the way I see it, the deceivers, right now there's a movement going on where these guys are kind of scrambling, and there's deep underground bases, and on the lowest level of these bases, you've got some pretty heinous stuff going on with the ETs involved and humans,
mm-hmm.
And it all goes back to the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. And there are beings that will experiment on anybody or anything. They have no empathy. They have no compassion. A lot of our leadership is in that realm right now. They'll lie and deceive and do everything they can just to increase their power base, you know, or their financial base or whatever. So their whole focus is just power, and they lust for power and wealth at any expense. And, you know, and they're going to say whatever needs to be said to do that, to get there. And it's time for people to start trusting their own inner sensitivity. And if they don't trust, you know, if they have a bad feeling about somebody, no matter what they say, trust your heart, you know, trust your feelings. And don't participate in the nonsense. You know, there's a lot of smooth talkers that'll talk us into going to war here and doing this and doing that. And it's all to promote, you know, an industry or a power base. And so we need to really take a hard look at that and, you know, and just not go there anymore. You know, we know, everybody knows what's right. It's written in your heart. You know, just go back to your heart and you know what's right and what's wrong and what's in the highest and best good of humanity in the earth.
Yeah, it's just a question of, you know, who you listen to. And I think, unfortunately, some of the other people out there are listening to lower elements.
Yeah, you know, I saw a clip the other day. It was sent to me, and it was this right-wing Christian group, and mm-hmm. I had no idea how big they were. And they are massive, this big group, and they actually have Bush go there and speak. And, you know, he's saying this is a Christian war, and they're there to stamp out the Muslims there, and they're going there trying to convert all the Muslims and everything. And when I watched this thing, and I just almost got ill. I go, how sick is that? You know, how... And even, you know, it's that same program, either convert or die. And then they're saying that the Muslims think that about us. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, that fanaticism, no matter what you call yourself, you know, Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. That fanaticism is separation. You know, it doesn't honor the creator within all creation. It becomes very disastrous and harmful to others.
Right.
And, it's totally illogical. It makes no sense whatsoever, you know, because if they all speak of this omnipresent God, but if that's the case, then it's omnipresent within you, within me, within the Muslim, within the Hindu, within, you know, the Christian, within everybody. And, you know, we're supposed to love everybody. And you know, the God of many names, you know, basically we have to go back and say, well, who, if they have a name and an image and a doctrine or whatever, who created them? You know, there's something, some other force that from where they came that created them. So, you know, our history has been riddled with encounters with beings that pass themselves off as gods, and some were benevolent and some weren't.
Anunnaki.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're 12-strand DNA and that's where we're going back to?
Yeah, we are definitely going through DNA changes. And actually, there's 13 strands of DNA. When the 13th strand activates, that's Christ consciousness. But each strand has an attribute to it. And one, let's say if one strand kicks on again and gets activated, it's not junk DNA, it's just not activated DNA.
Hmm.
And one actually has the salamander gene that helps you rebuild your body and heal. And then another one develops, you know, when it kicks on, you have telepathy. Hmm. And there's another strand that kicks on, you can see forward or backward in time.
The sutras.
And there's another one you can ascend levels. So each one of those DNAs, when they get reactivated, which is what we're going through, people, these gifts are going to start opening up for people.
Mm. That sounds like the yogic cities.
Mm. Well, yeah, the yogis who do a lot of meditation and prayer work, actually they've checked them out and they do go through DNA changes.
Mm.
And that's been very well documented.
Wow, that's neat. Well, it sounds like we're going to a good place, but we got to go through a lot to get there.
Yeah, you got to go through a little hell to get to heaven sometimes.
It's like the song says.
Yeah, there's an old, a lot of people don't realize that when you get past, you know, we can only see so much of the light spectrum, visible light, and in the unseen light spectrum that we can't see, and in infrared especially, that in that area, anything goes, and there's all these discarnate beings and weird stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the high levels and the high astral levels, you have masters and teachers and guides, but on the low levels, there's some pretty weird stuff going on there, and you know, thought forms that are manifested instantly, and so you create instant reality there too in the mental planes. And you know, people need to be aware of that and not go there or not entertain it, and make their own personal God connection and learn to stay in their own self-authority and how to heal any of these unseen negative influences.
I got to ask, do you think the shadow beings come from there?
Yeah, I do. I think some of them are benevolent and some are not. You know, it's just like people here, you know. Some are just kind of stuck in between worlds trying to figure out what's going on.
George Miller was joking the other night that he was saying that some people were seeing a shadow being with a top hat.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln appearing everywhere in people's homes.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are saying Obama's Lincoln reincarnated.
Yeah, I just read that today, in fact, that he's supposed to be reincarnation of Obama. I mean, the other way around.
Yeah.
Obama reincarnation of Lincoln.
You know, I've got a good feeling about him. The thing is, you know, anybody that goes into that office, they can do so much.
Sure.
And I know he's probably going to push the envelope. And eventually, if the people, I always say that we should never be led by anybody. We should be leading ourselves and lead the leaders. We should be telling the leaders what to do. And if we're not, then somebody else is going to be telling them what to do. And unfortunately, that's been the case. Our leadership is totally controlled by other groups, you know, and those groups don't give a damn about humanity or the earth, and they've made it very clear they don't, so.
Well, I want to mention about something that has been introduced by a group of well-meaning group of people to get to this country back to work and to get us off the oil dependency. Have you heard of the Intelligent Community Project?
No, I haven't. Now, who are they again?
Intelligent Community. I think some of their funding is coming from a man by the name of Pickens. Pickens' plan, have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Pickens' plan is to get this whole country off of oil dependency and is to essentially get us to alternative means of fuel using wind power, solar power, zero point as well, if they are able to, you know, get that going. Essentially, it's a big movement. There's a website you can check out. It's called intelligentcommunity.com.
Oh, okay.
Theintelligentcommunity.com, I believe. And
you know, I'll check that out. Maybe I'll try to get one of the guys on the show.
Yeah, because, you know, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be talking to chambers of commerce across the country and basically introducing to them that we can create a virtual community of telecommuters that can basically help people. Like, for example, like let's say they're in Washington, somebody comes up with this great idea for an invention, okay? And that invention is cost prohibitive because of the research, development, you know, patent research, et cetera, this and that. So the idea goes out the window, and the economy suffers because of it, et cetera. In this case, they make one phone call, it's all taken care of, it does not come out of their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like to me that it's very aspiring. I think it can be done if the logistics are worked out. And,
you know, that's been my dream here, is to build a template of a very spiritual community that lives in harmony, you know, with the land, but also ushers in new technologies that are earth-friendly and new healing technologies as well.
Yeah.
And so they seem to be on the same page as what we're focusing on here.
Definitely check them out.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'll check them out. Maybe I'll see if I can get one of them on the show or something.
That would be great, because I tell you, I think that that's the only thing that can save this economy, this country's economy. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm waiting for the implosion, because, you know, to me, it's kind of like there are forces vying. I mean, there's the order that would like to, you know, just put us on a chip. And then there's, you know, galactic forces, if you will, who would like to essentially admit us to the rest of the universe if we can just get our consciousness together.
Yeah, I'm all for that, team.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, let's get off of the monetary system that's pretty much created wars and made everybody miserable here on planet Earth. And, you know, I'm sure they don't use these monetary systems in conscious places.
You know, one of the problems I've seen over and over again, especially within the UFO community, and it's in the alternative energy community as well, is that you've got a lot of big egos there and a lot of jealousy and a lot of need to control people.
Oh, yeah.
And they just don't know how to cooperate or work together, and they all want to be the head honcho or control everything.
Very sad.
And I've seen that in some pretty major organizations that people are throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars to. And I've seen how they've dealt with the inventors of the technology. And we know people. I know a guy that has a device that has 9 coils, and each coil puts out 25,000 watts, and it's zero-point energy. It's ice cold. And, you know, I tried to help him get this out, and almost everybody we ran into either tried to steal it, they tried to take it, they tried to control it. A lot of the humanitarians, suppose we have a joke, you know, if vegetarians eat vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? And so we just kept getting eaten alive by these so-called humanitarian groups that were getting, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars donated to them. And they're never going to go anywhere because it just gets eaten up by their organization, and they've got some serious issues. They forgot about, you know, being in total service mode and cooperating and working together in the highest and best good of everybody.
And that's the main issue.
Even if you have the technology, it's getting past the group's consciousness and the other groups that are trying to suppress it. You know, one guy said, you know, that they don't have to suppress UFOs information anymore, that the people within the community do it.
Do a pretty good job of putting out disinformation and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and all they do have to do is feed some few people a little disinformation, and then they go and attack everybody else.
It's pretty sad, but
true. Yeah, and I've seen that redundantly, and there's a lot of jealousy in the community. So, you know, it's kind of insane. You really think about it. We've had, you know, all of these main... This is all over the UK now, because Robbie Williams came here, Paranormal State came here. They all saw the ships. They got their own footage. Above Top Secret came here. You know, all of this stuff is just, we have 90 hours of footage plus of UFOs coming in. And, you know, I'm not at the major UFO conferences. Now we have to ask why, you know, what's wrong with this picture.
So, ego. That's
one of the biggest hotspots in the U.S. is this ranch right here. It's internationally known. And and you know, I'm not speaking at these conferences. So that should tell you how deep the disinformation program and control program.
I just Googled Robbie Williams, and it says now Robbie Williams using tattoos to contact aliens.
Yeah,
they're
just totally. They don't even have a clue. I wish they'd talk to one of us, either Robbie or myself, and get the real story rather than just make up stuff as they go along.
Sensationalism.
Yeah, yeah. But sooner or later, you know, it'll get, at least it's getting people to come to the website. You know, but anyway, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for calling in.
Pleasure. Thank you for your time.
I'm going to have to sign off here.
Okay, we'll talk again.
All right. So thanks, definitely, I can't thank everybody enough for calling in. It's been a great show. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and keep watching the skies. And remember, trust your own heart. Don't wait for the government to tell you it's okay to believe in UFOs, because they're here. Have a great evening. Good night.